A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
Hey, hey, welcome to my show, Feng Shui Your Way on UK Health Radio. I'm Janine Lo, your go-to Feng Shui consultant and Chinese astrologer. I've been helping people transform their lives for over 20 years, from private clients to big names and businesses, and I can't wait to share my tips and stories with you. My guest today is Veronica Hollingsworth, a certified medical intuitive energy healer, medium and coach. She helps people through grief and spiritual awakening, offering practical tools to connect with loved ones in spirit, rekindle hope, and navigate life's changes. She also works in the unique field of organ transplant cleaning. I'm going to say that again. She also works in the unique field of organ transplant clearing. So excited to hear about this. I'm thrilled to welcome her to my show. Hey, hey, Veronica.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
That's good. Well, so let's get straight into there. I'm not going into what I really want to know straight away because I want to know a little bit about you. So could you tell us what first drew you to becoming a certified medical intuitive and energy healer?
So I've kind of been one my entire life. My mom had a lot of medical issues. And ever since a little girl, I kind of knew exactly what was causing her issues when the doctors couldn't figure out what was going on. So it just kind of developed from there. And when I realized that what I was able to do had a name, I went ahead and got certified in it. And the energy healing just kind of went hand in hand with that because I was already tapping into that quantum field to read the information that was coming from people's bodies. So then it was just a matter of learning, oh, well, you know, I can manipulate energy and I can move things here and add things there. And here we are.
Yeah, it's interesting because our listeners, Veronica and I got together during 2020 COVID, and we got to do a lot with various things that were going on in both our lives. So it's really nice to have you on my show, just so you know. And I know I'm a bit stuttery today. I don't know why. I don't know if Mercury's in retrograde or Venus is the wrong way. But for me today, I'm very stuttery. So hopefully our listeners will give me a bit of a break on that one. So... you said that when you were a child, your mum was one of the reasons you learned that you were an intuitive healer. But was there a definite moment or when you turned it into a profession, something that sparked your calling to support those who are bereaved or undergoing spiritual awakening?
Yeah, so that happened almost 4 years ago when my beloved partner passed away. So I was already doing the medical intuitive and the energy healing, and I was already a relationship and health coach at the time. And so when he passed, it shook my entire world. You know, I didn't know what I was doing, whether I was coming or going. And so soon after, my mediumship skills kicked in, and that's when I realized that he was still here and I was still able to hear him and communicate with him. And across a series of events, which one of them is the organ clearing because he was scheduled to go in for a transplant, I realized that I could bring together everything that I knew to help him, to help myself. And then as I moved through the journey of grief and started exploring the resources out there, I realized that I could help others going through what I was going through by combining it all together. So that's really when my business pivoted from what I was doing before to what I'm doing now, which is precisely supporting those in grief, you know, to recognize that the current paradigm that we have around grief is not all there is, and we can turn it into something more that actually gives us hope and helps us on our spiritual awakening path. So that's what I do.
So I remember this. It was very much a shock to you and your partner when passed, and we were talking about it and saying, you know, are there signs? Because I have signs from two of my best friends passed, and both of those children were about 7 or 8 at the time, and James's mum, they died within 18 months of each other, my best friends, and one sends me butterflies and I mean butterflies, they literally land on, if they could land on me, which they're not allowed to, because I'm terrified of insects, they literally land and stare at me, and I'm like, okay, I'll just go and ring James, yeah? Or with Zest, with Lulu, and it's really weird now because Emma is 36, 38, and now it's like going out with her as, I know she's obviously got different characteristics, but we all, whenever we get together, like the music from Practical Magic, which was our Lulu's and my movie, comes on. So do you get those sort of signs from the person that
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So it starts out that way, right? And then because of the path that I've been on, I had teach people how to take it even further so that not only do we get the typical signs, we open up our clair senses so that we can start perceiving them telepathically or, through claircognizance, clairvoyance, that kind of thing. And we get that intuitive hit and knowledge so that we're guided every minute of the day, if we choose to be, right? Like I'll go shopping and I'll get a hit that, oh, Logan wants me to look at this thing on the shelf, and he directs my eyes there. We also have a constant dialogue through music, through lyrics, through, bits of phrases and pieces that happen on the TV. And it's a continuing story. So it's really just beyond just the signs into realizing that we can still have them in our lives in a very tangible, real, current way, so that they can help guide us. And so that then opened up the door to also doing what I call co-healing, which is whatever relationship issues we had while he was still here in the physical, we can still work on those. And he
Wow.
showed me that he's making progress as I'm making progress on these spiritual issues, right? Because the bottom line is just because we lose our physical doesn't make the love go away, right?
Yeah.
And we're all energy. So all of that can still continue. And in that realization, it helps the grief so much to realize that it's not the end. It can still continue.
It's interesting you say that. So I was around two people that passed in front of me, both with like a heart attack, and I got pulled in with one of them, and I looked at the person, and there's no way that the spirit hadn't left, because the spirit had left because it couldn't be the heart that was making the world, because the person was like, there was nothing left in them. I genuinely know, and I'm going to say no, could be shot down for this, because I saw the energy wasn't there anymore. And I think, so I was interviewed the other day by someone called Neon, and he said to me, oh, what sort of religion do you believe in? And I said, well, it's not about that. It's about energy and connecting. And I believe that they are all around us. So what's your thought? How would you explain it to somebody who said, what religion do you believe in?
That I always get that all the time. So yeah, it's so religion is a prescription on how to do something, right? Spirituality is just being it and experiencing it. It's a firsthand knowledge without a prescription. It's just an innate knowing and connection that you feel. So when people ask me, what religious things do you pull from or whatever to do this work, I pull from everything because all religions touch upon aspects of the truth. So that's what I draw from, as well as psycho-spiritual studies, Carl Jung, a bunch of afterlife studies, right, that show through quantum physics and physical mechanics and energy that certain things that we ascribe as truth can apply to the application of the afterlife and how we can communicate with them. So, when you stop and think that, okay, if everything is energy and love makes the world go round, why would that stop because of any religion that you have or any, scientific precept that's out there, that says otherwise? Like, no, I think we all know inherently that these are universal truths. And that's a reason why grief hurts so much when we come at it from the perspective that is very prevalent in the West, particularly, right? That says that, oh, the grief, it means that you must let go and move on and they're gone and you'll see them later, maybe if you believe in that. No,
Yeah.
there's so much more to it than that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I wish I'd had that answer for the guy, because it is such a good answer. Religion is a prescription. I'll remember that from now on. Brilliant.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely true. I literally, if I think about somebody, it actually living as well, if I'm being honest, if I think about someone living or something like that, something always happens. Just, living or dead. I remember I was having my nails done, taking off pieces of it, having my nails done the other day, and the girl doing my nails, she said to me, "Oh, I really wish this guy would text me. He said he would, but he didn't." And as she touched my hands, because I believe in everything so much, her phone went off and it was him. And she's like, "Did you just do that?" And I said,
Nice.
"No, I was listening to you, and I was listening to the universe saying, 'Oh, I wonder why he didn't text her.' So the universe went boop, 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 and he texted her, yeah."
Yeah.
And it's very hard to explain to people about the fact that the energy is there to work for you. The more you work with it, the better things start to happen. So would you agree with that one?
Absolutely. Yes, and the grief journey, a lot of times it pushes us to the edge of everything that we thought was real. Right. It completely takes up the rug from under our feet. We're upside down, topsy-turvy, and we don't know which way is up or down anymore. Right.
Yeah.
That state does allow us to all of a sudden become more open to any alternative to the pain that we're feeling. So a lot of the people that find me have reached rock bottom, and they are open to learning, okay, what else is there? Right. They go on this search of figuring out afterlife research groups and, what studies have we done on consciousness and all this other stuff. And that invariably leads them to learning more about energy. Right. So by the virtue that they've been cracked open by the grief, they're able to let go of their preconceived notions a little bit better. And so they're able to absorb more of this new information so that they can then remake their paradigm around grief.
Yeah,
Yeah.
interesting. So just for a moment, we're just gonna pop off and hand over to our sponsors, and we will see you on the other side.
The station that makes you feel good.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to get myself up and ready and go to therapy or whatever. Even to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, I'm back with Veronica, and I wanted to say this, right? Because I'm a feng shui consultant, and this show of mine's about feng shui. Obviously, one of the biggest things that I do is go into people's houses, and I can sense the energies are still there. The people aren't leaving. They aren't leaving the people that live in the house. I'm not off the TV program The Ghost Whisperer. I don't send them on their way, but I do talk to the people about why I feel these people are still around. What's your thoughts on when people still stay around? Is it the people calling them in, or do they not want to leave? What do you
It could
think?
be both. So it runs the gamut, right? It could be anything from an old spirit that's attached to something in the home or to the home itself. It could be that they're held around by unfinished business. It could be attachment to the people that live there, either because they have something in common with them or they just grow to care about them. That happens too, and so it really just runs the gamut, but it does happen for sure. Yeah.
No, I've come across it. So I'm just going to ask you another question, because this is something I didn't know anything about. So I'm going to put it in very plain English, or American, as you are. What does organ transplant clearing entail, and how did you come to specialize in this area?
Yeah, so that's a hard story, right? But it's one of those pivotal times in my life. So when Logan crossed, he was not designated to be an organ donor, but his family was they were given the decision over that to decide for him since he was in a coma and he was technically considered, brain dead, that they could go ahead and donate his organs. Now, during this time, he and I were already communicating, so I was already sensing him. And I felt this level of terror that I had never felt before in my entire life. I felt nauseated, just existential terror, right, coming from him. And when I realized that it was tied to the decision to turn him into an organ donor, I realized that, okay, this is level one emergency, energy clearing needs to happen. So I was guided by him, his guides, and my guides to do basically the energy clearings that I do in a medical intuitive reading, but to do it on his living body because it's still alive, right? So, they can't do an organ transplant on a dead body. It has to be a living body. So that means that the living energy, right, the chi, the life force, is still coursing through his organs. And because I was still connected to him, right, my energetic system was connected to his. And so his organ transplant was going to impact me unless I did a cord cutting, cleared my energy from his organs and then cleared his organs from anything that he carried so that that energy would not transfer over to the recipient.
Goodness, I never even thought of something like that. It's massive.
Exactly. It's massive. It's massive. So when you start thinking in terms of energy, you realize that anyone that has had an organ transplant, a recipient, or that has been designated a donor, particularly against their consent, right? It's the decision is for them by somebody else. They still have that living energetic attachment to their organ here on Earth, so that kind of interferes with their process of crossing over. It's not as clean of a process as it should be, because that it's a live wire. It's technically live wire that's still active, right? So when we also stop to think in terms of Chinese medicine, right, or medical intuitive, clearings like what I do, you realize that organs carry emotions, right? So for example, if somebody has a lot of anger in their life, that's stored in the liver. If they're designated a liver donor, okay, the recipient may get the liver, but they'll also get the emotions that are stored in the liver from the donor. So this is why, when we stop and think about the things that we know, right, that society accepts as truth, such as, emotions are stored in the organs. When we take into account psychometry, right, where objects can hold the energy of a person, why isn't that the same thing with our organs when they're part of us?
Of course,
right? When you take into account epigenetics, right, which is our DNA storing our history, our emotional history from seven generations on up. Why does that not all of a sudden apply to organ donation? Right. So it's like, okay, there's a disconnect here that no one is talking about. So when this happened to me, I realized that this was huge, right? I needed to clear his organs from his energy signature, his things that he had going on in his life, so that then the gift of the organ donation was actually going to be a good thing for the recipient and not a detriment. Okay. So it was multifaceted. I had to clear it for myself, for him, and for the recipient. So.
Goodness. And so do you do that do people come to you to do that for people that?
So far, because the knowledge just isn't out there, right? The people that I've worked with have come to me after the fact, right? So their loved one has passed, the organ donation has already happened. But because I work in the quantum field where there is no time, I'm able to access those energy signatures and connect to the deceased person, to let them know that, okay, we're going to do this. And now you're going to be free to go. You're going to be free to continue your crossing over process. And of course, this is just an opportunity for them. They can always decide to stay connected to their donor if that's part of their soul contract, but we give them the opportunity to be free. And many times they'll run off happily, like, oh, thank you, I'm free now.
Gosh, I never really thought that. So obviously, in Feng Shui and Chinese astrology, all the things that I do, I can pick up things and, you can feel it. If you watch the new Wednesdays that are on, she only has to touch something and she can go back in time. So what you're saying is true. something I had never ever connected to at all. If we can do acupuncture to clear lines, and we can do all that sort of thing, so could that lead to, if you healing of the organs, are you, is it Caroline Myce or someone that they can heal, take you through operations, that actually having operations? Or for you, can you, when you people come to you, can go, you'll know automatically, being an intuitive as well, what's wrong with them, and then you can direct them to the doctors?
Yes, but mostly I direct them to their own healing, right?
Right.
Because everything that shows up in the physical first starts out at the mental, emotional, and spiritual levels,
Right.
right? If they didn't get their attention at the spiritual level, it's going to get their attention at the emotional level. If it doesn't ring a bell there, it'll go mental. And if it still doesn't ring a bell there, it'll show up in the physical. So when I do a medical intuitive reading, I look at the true cause, the root causes of where did this originate, so that then they can start working at it at that level. And most of the time, when they get serious about it and they really want to heal, it disappears from the physical condition.
It's interesting. I read an article that said that your children have your DNA. We know that because you carry them, so they have all the stuff from you and all yours. But then that goes back generations, doesn't it? That goes back, my grandma had my mom, and her grandma had her. So you've got all that. So are you saying then that we can get our, you said liver, can go back generations with the problem?
Yes.
Okay. Goodness, I'm glad I've got you on the show. It's the first time I've ever really gone into that. I'm really interested in that. No, I mean, really interested, because it makes so much sense that should happen. So we talked about Logan, but have you, is there anyone that you could give us, with that you can change the names of, how you help them?
Sure. So one case that comes to mind is this lady that had received a bone graft for her neck because she had a neck injury. And so she received a cadaver bone. However, it was still kind of live tissue. So she ended up picking up on this donor's likes and dislikes, right? All of a sudden, she was eating food she'd never eaten before in her life and listening to music, that was very ethnic in nature. So we she thought that for many years, that perhaps her donor was a young, African American, right? That listened to hip hop and liked Southern food because she all of a sudden started liking those things. But one of the things that also impacted her was a certain heaviness that she didn't have before the surgery. So she came to me, and we were able to identify that indeed her donor was a young African American male, around 18 years of age, and that his grandmother was with him, and that he was still attached to her neck. So whatever issue he still had in his life, he was transferring to her so that she could hopefully work on it for him.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was like, I did the medical intuitive reading. I connected mediumistically to him. I saw his grandmother. And with permission from their higher selves and their guides, and of course them, and her guides and higher self, I did the clearing. And at that point, he had the choice to either stick around, and she had the choice to accept him, right, through free will at this point, which is completely different, or sever the connection and let it go. And he chose to let it go, and he literally took off running. He's just like, yay, I'm free.
You found you.
Yeah, exactly. And she's felt so much better since then, right? She doesn't feel that heaviness anymore, and the cravings for that particular food and those tastes has gone way down too. So she realized that those weren't innate to her. She was carrying them in her field from him.
So I suppose the answer is, for the people that are actually having other people's bodies and that, then parts of their bodies, that you need to go back and check out exactly what their lifestyle was like. But not that you're not going to take it because you're desperate, but then you come into your own and are able to help them. That's a really, really interesting thing. Anyway, time to hear from our sponsors. We'll be back with Veronica on the other side, and we'll be talking more about spiritual healing.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're going to come back and talk about spiritual healing, although I really would like to stay on the organ. But, you know, there's other things to your thing. So what shifts of advancement do you think in spiritual healing and mediumship do you see on the horizon? Because do you think anyone can be a medium?
Absolutely. It's an innate ability that we all have.
Right.
I think it's a birthright that we have that we've been stripped of from the time that we were itty bitty, you know, through religion, through social conditioning, and through just the consensus, right? The cultural belief that, oh, if somebody dies and we no longer see them physically, they're gone. Like, just forget about them, move on, you know? And it's like, no, that's not right. That's why grief hurts so much, right? Because we know on some level that that just isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
We step into this cognitive dissonance of, for example, experiencing signs or feeling them still around, right? Sometimes even years up to their past,
yeah.
Right? But we can't reconcile that with what society tells us. That is the consensus, you know, of what we have been taught that death is. So I do believe that as we ascend, right, as humanity.
Yeah.
A lot more of us are going to be stepping into our natural abilities of mediumship, and all of our clairs are going to come online. The veil will become thinner. And I really do believe, and I'm saying it now, that there is more of a movement towards a knowing of the inner self as opposed to looking outside for an authority to tell us what is what. You know, and so the more we step into that.
I always think, they always say, and I think this is true. I mean, I was born an intuitive. My whole life was an intuitive like you. Years ago, I used to have to hide it. We know my story. And then when I got to my 20s and moved away from my mother's influence, I was able to use it more. And then my friends love it. And like, even now I can pop into the pub to see my friends and someone will go, oh, you know, my wife's got this. You can do your, you know, that stuff you do.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I am very lucky, I think, and we'll talk about, you know, we know everyone knows I love cats. I saw my cat. I've seen two of my cats after they passed,
mm-hmm.
literally in front of me. I'm not, you know, obviously, if you beat your hand through them, they probably weren't there to stroke, but they were there. And both of them went in a way of shock. So there wasn't any, oh, they're sick, you know, they had car accidents. Do you know what I mean? It was like, poof, gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that for me, I thought, well, it wasn't time. I wasn't ready for you to go. You know, you can't just go. And they came back and saw me, or I saw them. And one of them turned around as his tail went round the corner. And I remember his face and I was like, oh, my God. So do you think that that's something that really, really happens?
I'm not Absolutely.
Good. I'm not crazy then.
No, you're not crazy. You're very tuned in and it's wonderful.
So one of the things that I keep saying one of these. So this is the question that I've been asked. How does your work intersect with broader conversations about mental health, especially in post-pandemic time where grief and spiritual searching have become more prominent? So I'm sort of asking, obviously, after the pandemic, a lot of people passed. A lot of people were sitting mm-hmm. at home. They didn't know if they were going to. We all thought it was at our door and we were gone tomorrow, you know. Well, some of us did. Some mm-hmm. of us didn't think it, but some of us did. So do you think that COVID gave us another link to get further into the spiritual world with spiritual
absolutely people? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I mean it's the biggest catalyst that has ever been thrown onto humanity thus far in our experience, right? So as a result as well, everyone is carrying some kind of latent grief,
yeah,
right? Not just from losing somebody, but also just from losing their perception of what normal life was supposed to look like. It's a shift.
But I think people also had time to stop.
Yes.
They just stopped, and that gave them, I think overall it was about 7 months. We stop and open, stop and open it. This is in the UK, and it gave people time to think to, and then now we've been given time to think about, and I'm not going into politics about it, whether we should have had the injections or whether we shouldn't. I mean, as an intuitive, I didn't want them, but my mum, I had to look after my mum in this country. You couldn't get into hospital to look after her, all these sort of things, so we had to have them. But I've had to have some homeopathy to get rid of the ultimately the stuff that was that went into my body. So what were you thinking at this time when that was all going on? I know you would never have had it in your body, but
So I'm in the US, right? So there was a lot more freedom than in Europe and the UK to be able to say no. Of course, it probably cost you your job or, whatever. It wasn't quite as authoritarian, I guess. So that gave me the I was able to look at everything going down from an outsider's perspective in a way, because I was able to say, no, I don't want it. So now let's see what's really going on. So I definitely could see the energetic implications of, getting this done. And I was able to also see where a person stood as far as their psycho-spiritual growth and understanding impacted what, how they got influenced. The energetics of the injection. So I personally believe that it's the biggest catalyst, like I said earlier, right, to understanding the most about our bodies, our energy systems, and our personal belief systems as well, right? And about, okay, to what level do we create our own reality, and to what level did our soul sign up for this experience? Right, because there's many people that took it and it ultimately cost them their lives, right? We're seeing that now. So we have to be able to understand that there's a higher contract at play here, right? And that it was part of their life path, to go down that route, and they signed up for the experience of it.
I think the other thing that happened, well, it did in the UK, basically people had this freedom of time and they could get dogs. Because suddenly they could walk out and they could do what they wanted. So we had an influx of what we call COVID dogs, or even COVID baby, little children that had that, the wrong energy, that sort of thing. Anyway, we're getting in too deep. I'm not going to get that deep with it. I'm just going to just say. So I would like you to put together, if you could think of, for our listeners who feel they might be undergoing a spiritual awakening or drawn to the healing path, what would your message be to them?
Trust it. Trust it. I think that would be the biggest thing, right? Do your homework, feed your mind all the information that you can, but ultimately trust your own inner gut and your own inner guidance, and trust that you are being guided through this path, and it's a beautiful opportunity.
So how could they find you?
So I have my website, so everything is linked through there. So you can see my programs, my services, and the group that I run specifically for the bereaved, where I have tons of free information on how to get started on this path to help you recover from grief. So yeah, and that's www.veronicahollingsworth.com.
Brilliant. And although we only touched on grief in a small way, obviously they can go to you and find out. And it's a discussion you and I had for months about the grief side of it and how you deal with it. A friend of mine, her husband passed very unexpectedly, just in a shopping. He was only 58, just in a shopping mall. Just getting her flowers as it happened, and he was only going to be 20 minutes. And 2 hours later, the police turned up at her door,
My
and she
goodness.
said one of the things that's really upsetting her is everyone says, "Oh, just give it time, and you'll be fine." And my words to her were, people just don't know what to say to you. And that's just a stock sentence. If someone came to you like they just came to me, how would you, what was the first things you would say to help them? How can you help them?
So typically when somebody comes to me and they're in deep despair or in shock, even, I let them know that, first of all, not everything is what it seems, right? And to not believe everything that the grief tells you. And that opens up the door for them to go, oh, what? Like, what? You mean there's more? There's something else that I can, apply to the situation. And so that's typically what I tell them. Yeah, the typical phrases of, oh, they're in a better place, or, it's been long enough, you need to move on. Oh my gosh, no. Those, yeah. Yeah, no.
No. Anyway, listeners, you've heard it from Veronica. She is an expert in the fields of grief and the subject that I've just learned about, organ transplant clearing. And I think that's really fascinating. And I think that probably is going to get even bigger than you have. I'm sure you've written something about it. So they can they find that online so that they can look into it?
That would be on my Facebook profile, my Facebook business profile. So Veronica Hollingsworth Coaching, yeah, on Facebook, and you'll
Okay.
find it there.
Thank you. I'll make sure that they put all your socials up. And then thank you so much. Thank you
Thank
so much for
you so
everything.
much for having me. It's a
You take
pleasure.
care. Thanks so much for tuning in to Feng Shui Your Way. I can't wait to share more insights and inspirations with you in the next episode. Remember, life is all about creating harmony and welcoming positive energy into your world. Until next time, stay balanced and keep your energy flowing.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get myself up and ready and go to therapy or whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.